We Talk Wrestling is now proudly presented by Geek Nation Tours. Check out the Geek Nation Tours New York Comic Con package, combining all the excitement of the convention with a tour of the city and the coolest sights for the superhero fan. You'll recognize locations from films and books and visit geek culture sites like Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash. The time of the geek is at hand. Geek Nation Tours provides fun and unique vacation packages featuring themes such as the Civil War, Harry Potter, board games and beer, sports geeks, in locations such as Germany, Japan, England, and all over America. Visit geeknationtours.com and get your geek on!
Let me introduce you to these fellows to the north. One name is Addy, the other is Mo. Addy's a dick and Mo's just fat. Remember that, please, fellows to the north. They're gonna talk wrestling. They're gonna make some jokes. Remember, Addy's a dick, Mo's just fat. Addy's a dick and Mo's just fat. Let's talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling. We talk wrestling.
Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo.
Hey Mo.
Hey Addy, we got finished today. We watched a great wrestling event.
Yeah, and then we watched SummerSlam.
That's right. We watched NXT TakeOver.
Brooklyn.
And then we watched SummerSlam.
Then we did watch the SummerSlam.
The SummerFest.
The SummerFest, the 2015 World Wrestling Federation Festival of the Summer, is in the books.
It is in the books. It's the SummerFest.
Yes.
The Festival of the Summer.
And really, what a fest it was.
It was a very festival.
Yeah. It was for the rest of us?
Yeah. All right, let's start with TakeOver.
Yeah, that was the NXT TakeOver there.
Yeah. Brooklyn's Barclay Center, I believe.
Yeah, I believe it was in the Barclay Center, this one.
Yeah, the Barclay.
Yeah.
And it took place in Brooklyn.
Charles Barclay Center, I believe.
Yeah, exactly. It was the round mound of Rotound.
Yes.
A rebound.
Yes.
Rund.
Yes, it was the
Rotundo.
Mike Rotundo?
Bo.
Bo.
Yeah, he's a little rotund.
Bo knows. As is his brother.
Luke knows?
Luke Rotundo.
Luke Rotundo.
And Bo Rotundo. The Rotunda boys.
Bo and Luke.
Yes.
All right, so let's... So it opens up with Jushin Thunder.
Christian Thunder Liger.
Jushin?
Jushin. What should I do?
You should pronounce the name right.
Oh, okay. Thunder Liger, baby.
Thunder Liger.
Thunder Liger going against Flying Brian now.
Oh.
At the Super
Breeze.
Super Brawl. Super Brawl 2.
That's a great event.
Yes.
And they also did it on like the first Nitro or the second Nitro?
First ever Nitro. That was from the Mall of America.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
In Minneapolis, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. The land of 10,000 lakes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so Tyler Breeze and Thunder Liger had a match.
Yeah.
It was okay.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, it's as good as you're going to get when you have a 50-year-old guy.
And Jushin Liger.
Yeah. And Liger won. And, the crowd made the crowd happy, and I don't know why it is you take a 50-year-old guy who's a legend, who is probably never going to wrestle for you again,
mm-hmm.
and have him go over your young up-and-coming star, Tyler Breeze. But they did.
Oh, you know why, though?
Why?
I understand why.
Okay.
Because nobody gives a fuck.
Oh.
Yeah. You know. Oh, you know.
I give a fuck.
Do you? Not Tyler Breeze.
Yeah.
Tyler Breeze, he was going to... He was going to main event WrestleMania next year.
Exactly. No, it's booking 101. I don't know why you do that, but it doesn't matter.
That's the whole thing,
yeah.
Is that nobody gives a fuck.
Yeah. So that happened.
Yeah.
And then the Vaudevillains.
Yes. With Blue Pants.
With Blue Pants as their second, yes, to counteract the dangerous Alexa Bliss.
Yes.
They won the NXT Tag Team Championship of the World.
The World Tag Team Championships.
Of the world.
Of the world. And, I mean, yeah, as soon as, you know, they're like, oh, you know, Alexa Bliss grabs the microphone, you know, have a partner.
Yeah.
And I looked at the man they call B who watched with us.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the Vaudevillains are wearing blue, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I know where this is going. Yeah, sure enough.
So I guess Blue Pants actually has a contract now?
Now she is officially part of the World Wrestling Federation roster, yes.
Yeah, because when she first was up there, she was just, you know...
Yeah.
She wasn't supposed to be part of the roster. She was just supposed to be a one-off.
Yeah, it was coming, you know...
Just a comedy gimmick one-off thing.
Just something she did once.
Yeah, and yeah, then it got over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
anyways, the Vaudevillains won, and it was a pretty good match, actually. I didn't expect much of it, and it was pretty good. The crowd was really into it, and it's good, because... Blake and Murphy.
The only thing the match
now can chase a little bit and regain, and because neither one of these teams is, I think, close to being called up.
No, exactly. The thing with the that I look at with the match, the only thing I thought it was missing was I don't know, like a headlock.
Hmm. It was arm drags.
Headlock.
Mm-hmm.
For what, how long was the match?
12 minutes. Something like that.
So
12-15.
So I'm going to say 7 of those minutes,
mm-hmm,
headball.
Oh, okay.
So.
It's a good match, though.
Eh, it was all right.
Yeah.
The finish was good.
The finish was good. The match. Arm drags more than headlocks.
The match in its entirety, yeah. I could have, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Anything else
happened? It was a good match.
Then was it Titus O'Neil making his debut?
Yeah, I think
Titus. His name now?
Yeah, Titus O'Neil made Apollo Crews.
Apollo Crews
re-debuting as Apollo Crews.
Yep.
Beat Ty Dillinger, I believe.
The perfect 10.
The perfect 10, Ty Dillinger.
Who actually has 10 shaved into the back of his head.
Yeah, actually, Ty Dillinger shows a ton of charisma as this arrogant character who's a perfect 10 and judges everybody else.
Like arrogant.
Yeah, and so of course he does the job.
Yeah, he's gonna make it. Ty Dillinger, honestly, he did the job. He should have done the job, obviously.
Obviously,
yeah. But I think Ty Dillinger is going to make a hell of a tag team partner for Tyler Breeze when they become a heel tag team.
I can see that happening before. I can actually see that happening because they will need tag teams coming up for a tournament.
Yes, and they don't need on the main roster cruiserweights.
No,
and so
they already have enough.
Yeah, and they have, like, for Tyler Breeze, it's like, I don't know what, like, they have Torito. And they don't need another Torito. So,
you're saying he's skinny looking?
Skinny, short, you know.
It's more that he's skinny looking than he is short. He's not that short.
Oh, but please.
He's not that short, but he is really, really skinny looking.
Yeah.
And so, again, but he's a really good wrestler. So, I mean, at first I thought, his problem was he can't look like he'd ever win a fight. But as I've seen his work, I mean, I think he's got wrestling, he's got charisma. I think he's...
Could, you know, honestly, could put him under a mask and he could be Captain Bulimia.
Mm-hmm. But I don't mind him and Dillinger as a team, actually. I think Dillinger should have done the job to Crews here, and Crews looked very impressive. Crews was very athletic and yet very strong guy, right?
A lot of flips.
Yeah, but a lot of power moves in between. This is what I've seen him wrestle Pac on the Independence and in Dragon Gate and Noah, and, you know, and different things and Ricochet and matches like this. This wasn't anything new to me. I mean, I've seen this is what he is. This is why I knew he would fit in and do well.
Yeah,
he's good. But Dillinger is somebody who, yeah, okay, in this situation he should be doing the job, but going forward he should actually do something with, because he's got a lot of charisma and the crowd likes him.
Yes, instead he's CJ Parker.
Yeah, well, difference was CJ Parker didn't have charisma.
Yeah. They didn't know how to use it.
Yeah.
I've seen interviews with CJ Parker where it's like, oh, yeah. I told you about the one that they did about the Ultimate Warrior.
That's
like CJ Parker comes off great here.
That's true.
Way better than they have ever
had. He's retired now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah. And he wasn't even that small. No, they didn't know how to use it. You're right. But Dillinger is more obvious.
It is.
Yeah.
It definitely is.
So
Apollo Crews, a lot of shooting stars, a lot of monkey flips, just a lot of good
athletic. A shooting star, like a standing moonsault or standing shooting star, I guess.
Too.
Stanley Shooting Star, is it Moonsault or Shooting Star that he uses as his finisher? It was a Moonsault, isn't it?
That's
his finisher. Well, anyways, it was fair for what it was. I mean, it's a squash, but it was an impressive squash.
It was.
And then you got to Baron Corbin versus Samoa Joe.
Oh, yeah.
And the highlight of this was Baron Corbin in sit-down interviews in the promo package beforehand.
Yes.
Is a really good heel, and this is where it's like, this is where, if you never have him talk live in front of the audience, but have him do stuff like this, he just comes across as this big guy who doesn't give a damn about you and thinks that he's owed something because he's better than you, he'll be effective.
Yeah.
He'll be a good heel. And he had, I mean, they didn't feel like, I don't know, this didn't quite click for me.
No. No, it was, and Joe didn't really do much for me in this, and it was just, I don't know, that's more Baron Corbin, I thought, but
yeah,
could Joe get a good match out of him? No.
There was a lack of pace and energy to it, I thought. Just a little bit, I just thought they were clunky together.
Yeah, clunky is probably the best word.
Clunky together. Not a bad match, but just not as good as I'd hoped.
Yeah.
So Joe won with the Kikina clutch, and Corbin passes out without tapping.
Right.
And ref stops it, and as I had said, we both said, remember last show?
Mm-hmm.
We both said when Samoa Joe was going to win.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was the test to see whether Joe is main roster worthy to some people in the company.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
No, it wasn't.
Okay. No, it wasn't. Because you're those people in the company that said this was going to be a test to see how Joe reacts to the main roster when they actually said that, and it's reported that they said that, but no, it's not.
But it's not. Though.
It's not. No. Because, Mo, right? So,
yeah.
So this was a test there, and I don't know.
Samoa Joe is going after the main. Samoa Joe is going to the main roster. There's no question about it.
Oh, sure.
Both of these two will end up in the main roster.
They definitely. Samoa Joe is going to definitely be on the main roster because at every WrestleMania they have those people that have to, you know, be the scarecrows and you know, the dancing girls and you know, the Tommy Gunn shooters and all those extra John Cena's. Samoa Joe would be there no problem.
I know. I told you.
Yeah. See. 2019.
Samoa Joe will be in. I'm not sure if it'll be before or after next year's WrestleMania, but he will definitely.
Oh, it'll be after next year's WrestleMania.
We'll see. We'll see. Yeah. But both these guys will be up. But
there's way too
Corbin's played a while. Corbin, about a year from now. Probably both of these guys about a year from now, I imagine, will be up.
There's way too many people ahead of Samoa Joe in line before it's there. There's at least three people ahead of him in line.
Mm-hmm.
There's Sami Zayn.
Mm-hmm.
There's Finn Balor,
mm-hmm.
and there's with the Apollo Creed.
No,
here,
no.
So
Cruz is not ahead of him.
Yeah,
he's not.
Yeah, yeah.
No, he definitely is not.
Yeah, he is.
I guarantee he is.
You guarantee?
I guarantee. No, seriously. You don't know. How many matches of his have you fucking seen?
Oh yeah.
Dummy?
Yeah.
You don't understand how you're so stupid. If you don't. So incredibly stupid.
This is me.
You do not understand how the WWE works.
Oh, that's what it is.
That's what it is.
I don't understand the big muscled up black guy that can do flips or the fucking Samoan fat guy.
It's not about
I will zip it. Go. Good point. Okay. So what I'm saying is that the big ugly black guy is going to get up before the fat ugly Samoan, and that's it. So he also said
that Corbin was going to lose or going to go over Joe because the good big good looking young guy that looks like Vince McMahon's guy is going to go over, and it's like, no, he's not. The other guy can actually work and is closer to being ready. He's going to go over. The same thing with Cruz. You don't understand Cruz. Cruz is impressive as hell. I know. Apollo Crews. I watched the Yuha Nation.
Oh.
I've seen his matches against some morons. But I've seen his matches. He needs to relearn to work WWE way.
Uh-huh.
Samoa Joe doesn't. That's why Samoa Joe is way ahead of him.
That's right. Because when I think of Samoa Joe, I think of WWE style.
It's much closer. That's understands that style because he's a veteran.
Sure.
He's
a veteran, He's
worked with guys.
He's 39 years old. He's a veteran.
He's 38.
He's 38. Okay.
But he's a veteran.
He's what they like, old fat guys.
Yeah. Well, you know.
That's why you're not in WWE.
So, that's right. 10 years younger than guys that they put in.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. He's in shape. He can go. Uh-huh. He understands, and that's why they're going to call him up right away. Also.
Sure, yeah.
And he unlike
get him up right away.
Yeah, pretty much right away.
Yeah, yeah.
He will be.
Yeah, sure.
Who's got a card in Supercard? Apollo Crews or Samoa Joe?
Apollo Crews didn't have a name until last week.
Exactly. Fuck you. And this game came out 3 days ago.
Yes.
So they had lots of
time. Oh, yeah, plenty of time to do this.
To put him in.
No, I know. You know what? Actually, I make most of my booking decisions from Supercard.
Trust me. Samoa Joe is going to be on the main roster beforehand because he has worked with Chris Jenny, he's worked with Kurt Angle, he knows how to work WWE stock, he's worked with enough
He's worked with all the current stars.
No, but with guys who he knows the style from. He's wrestled that style. Yep. Wuha Nation has not.
No, that's true. Wuha Nation Paul has Chris. Not had a chance to injure Tyson Kidd yet. That'd be great. That'd be great. When Samoa Joe makes the main roster. That would be awesome.
It'll happen.
It'll be awesome.
It'll be great, man. It'll be awesome, man.
It'll be
fucking great.
Ooh,
my God. I remember this. This was before I think we were even doing a show. Mm-hmm. There was a MAGA and Samoa Joe at the same time. Mm-hmm. Both were undefeated.
Yes.
And finally, Samoa Joe lost to Kurt Angle. Mm-hmm. And you came in and you're like, I think Kevin Dunn's thinking to Brian Gewirtz is thinking to himself, I win. Because he kept his guy, his Samoan, undefeated longer.
That's right.
Yeah.
He won. Ryan the douche Gewirtz.
Gewirtz!
What else happened on this show? Did we go to the chick match now? I think we did.
Yeah, we go to the chick match.
The chick match, which was
the match of the show.
Yes.
Best match of the show.
Again.
Yeah. And I knew it was going to be a crackerjack of a match. I just knew it.
I was thinking more of that elephant corn. You know that pink elephant corn? Because it's chicks.
Is it pink?
Yeah.
It's
chicks.
Candy corn?
Is that what it's called?
I don't know. I just know candy corn is gross.
Is it?
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, that's what I thought it was going to be. Gross. But then, yeah, we had a great match. Bayley is your new NXT chick champ.
Yeah, the really impressive thing about this was the psychology. Like,
yeah,
there's
the
like,
post-match psychology was great.
No, that part I didn't like. But the psychology here of, like, you had Bayley's hand was worked on. There's points where, like, they use that in the match. Like they work a body part and they use that in the match to create more drama. Yes. And that's the type of stuff that you rarely see. And there was a lot of this stuff. And Bayley was a really, really great, fiery underdog babyface. And, yeah, like, just, it was awesome. Some tremendous moves. And
like Jagger.
Yeah, no, just wicked match. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And match of the night. And then you had the ladder match with the
best match. I think it's the best match of the weekend.
This one had SummerSlam had the Orton and Sheamus match.
Anyways,
but you had then you had that, and then you had the post match where the four horsewomen all got up and Sasha Banks and Bayley, who hate each other, hugged, and they did the curtain call. Yeah.
Yeah, all the people from, like, the woman from Team Bad is in there with the two girls from Team PCB, and they're all hugging and holding up the four horsewomen sign and crying and breaking kayfabe.
Yes.
Before the night before SummerSlam, where they're going to be competing each other, and right after that match. You know what? If it had just been they could have done it in a much more subtle way, and it would have been all right. Like, you could have just had, you know, like Sasha begrudgingly shake her hand and leave, and then as the other two run to the ring,
yeah,
just have the other two run to the ring to congratulate her, and just have her sit at the top of the ring and look the ramp and look back, and just instead of acting pissed, just kind of quietly clap and then head off, and it wouldn't have felt so like it would have been the same type of deal without feeling so I don't know self serving.
Still,
they're allowed to do it, but yeah, I mean it's like you're trying to put on a show.
Yeah.
So you are trying to suspend belief, right? I didn't like that at all.
No, I thought it was stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, the ladder match was good. It wasn't the greatest ladder match of all time, but it was good.
It didn't... didn't quite click for me at the same level as I had hoped. I don't think it was a good, put it that way, I don't think it was as good as their match in Tokyo.
Right.
That they had, that was on the WWE Network.
Right, for $9.99.
Yeah.
Or free, if you change your email address.
From, what is it, Kyoto Hall or something like that?
Which?
Kyoto Hall.
Budokan?
Budokan. Was it Budokan?
Okay. I don't know. Could have been.
I can't remember. But, yeah.
Kobo Hall?
Kobo, yeah.
The big Toho? Fall off the top?
Toho? Godzilla?
Tokyo.
Oh. Anyways, yeah, no, it's not as good as that one. It was a good match. The problem with the ladder matches is we've seen everything.
Sumo Hall?
Sumo Hall. Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. Budokan, Sumo. There's so many.
Budokomo Hall?
Could be. Could be. Probably is. Yeah. Okay, but again, the problem with the tag team matches, or the ladder matches...
The Tokyo Dome.
I think it was the Tokyo Dome. The problem with the ladder matches, we've seen all these great ladder matches, and they do new spots all the time. We've seen so many spots. You're either repeating the spots we've seen, or you're coming up with new spots. But to come up with new spots, you'd have to do stuff that was insanely dangerous. Because what has happened is they've really toned down, like, they've really toned down the danger in WWE and the stunt show fest of things like ladder matches. So now what we're seeing is ladder matches that aren't as...
Laddery?
Well, yeah, they're just not as... What's the word? Yeah, like, they're not as dangerous.
Right.
And ask for the best, but because of that, you're also not seeing anything new, and it doesn't live up to the ladder matches of 10 years ago. Like, it just doesn't. So it needs to be more psychology-based, but these guys are doing these ladder matches, especially coming from the independents, and this is something I thought was the case with Bella Horne and Owens, is you're not taught so much the psychology of the ladder match as the spots style, which is what they don't want them to do. So I just didn't think it quite clicked at that level. Still a good match. Still took some heavy moves, but not as good as their pure wrestling match, or the pure wrestling match that the women had right before.
Yeah, I agree. So it was a decent show.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. There's that Nia Jax chick that's coming in. It sounds like Black China.
She really sounded like China. It's frightening.
Yeah.
Like her voice.
I'm coming to again. I'm glad that Hunter has given me this opportunity.
But yeah, so, I don't know, that was the other thing that was, she was coming in, and then they showed Kana, who's a Japanese chick from Shimmer, that's most likely coming in.
She's supposed to be a good worker, so hopefully she'll fit right in.
Yeah.
Because right now you have Emma, who's decent.
Yeah.
Dana Brooks, who, there's somebody held a sign up at NXT, I'm surprised they didn't take it away. It said, Dana Brooks is literally the worst.
Mm.
And they're not far off.
Yeah, but she's a heel, so they don't care.
Yeah, I know.
But you got Blue Pants, you've got Carmella, you've got Bailey, you've got...
Yeah, but none of these are great workers. You have a division, but I'm just saying you don't have... Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. You don't have the workers. They got the numbers, but they don't have the workers. Right. So you have Emma, and that's it. So
basically, yeah.
Emma and Bailey. So, you know. And Eva Marie. Don't forget Eva Marie. Fantastic worker. One of the all-time greats.
Yeah, that's what they say.
So then we had the Festival of the Summer.
Yes, the Summer Fest.
And that opened.
I believe it opened with Who Gives a Fuck, Bro Kicking, Who Gives a Fuck in the Face for the Pin.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how long.
It's like 20 minutes.
Just to get warmed up.
Yeah.
But it was stupid. And
it's just, I cannot care about these two. It's not a bad match. It's not a good match. It's just a match that I've seen between Sheamus and Orton for the, I would say, and I'm not even exaggerating, at least 40th time.
Yeah. So it's a bad match.
Yeah. It's a match.
Yeah. That makes it a bad match.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. Who cares?
And the surprise is that
Orton did the job clean to Sheamus.
Oh, is that a surprise?
That's definitely a surprise because it makes you wonder, like, especially coming off of Orton beating, what was it, Cesaro and who was it he beat? Cesaro
Owens.
And Owens, and then beat, essentially, Rollins and got fucked out of the title.
Yes.
So he's, you know, got this momentum, he's built up as a challenger coming up here, and then you just have him do the job to a guy who's doesn't have any momentum.
Right.
And kill both guys off. So, but it doesn't matter because it's Orton and Sheamus.
That's the thing. When you're talking about this was like a surprise, You'd really have to give a fuck to be able to.
And it was who gives a fuck.
Have that emotion. Having that emotion of surprise is giving a fuck. You're like, oh, wow, I'm surprised. Whereas I gave a fuck. And
you couldn't have been more surprised that you were found yourself by accident giving a fuck.
So, yeah, and then I didn't. So. But the next match I gave a fuck about because. The New Day.
The New Day they rocks.
They rock.
They're tremendous.
And they're the World Wrestling Federation Tag Team Champions once again.
Yeah.
Just fantastic celebration.
The celebration alone.
Big E's the man.
Yeah.
Doing the Rick Rude fucking.
Kind of a Rick Rude. Yeah. Just awesome. Like his celebration. All of them celebrating, but he's hilarious.
Yeah.
And, well, I mean, and what's his name outside the ring is just incredible.
Oh, fucking. Xavier just never stops talking. He's like,
"Yeah, yeah, Darren Young's a really nice guy, but it's too bad. Just beat him anyway."
Yes. So what was it he said at some point? Like something like, he's going to hurt him in a working way.
Yeah, it's going to work. Great.
It's just hilarious. Yeah, no, it's just great.
That was great.
So, good to see New Day. And the crowd, obviously, they're the babyface. Crowd was popping for them. They're awesome. I don't know where you go with them. I guess Primetime gets a tag team rematch.
I guess you're going to have a rematch.
But,
and the
problem I have with the match is it starts off with there's two guys in the ring. There's all everybody else in the ringside.
Yeah.
And then somebody tags, and their team has to go out, and it's only two teams. And then you start getting the cluster of everybody running in there. And then everybody starts pinning everybody, and then the match is over. And you're like, why don't you just start it as a Texas Tornado match? Because that's going to be the ending anyways. And then it's not so convoluted. And theoretically, I don't know who pinned who, if any of them were even legal, or does it even matter? And then they tried to sell it. Like, I think he tanked his way in there at the end. And it's like, I don't know. I don't know why. If you're going to do it that way, and all these matches end up like that, just... Start off with the,
Who gives a shit?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and that's the thing. And
either keep the rules up consistently if you're going to have them, or throw them out consistently if you're not.
True,
but don't go away like in between like that.
We did forget to mention that Jon Stewart opened the show.
Oh yeah, with Mick Foley.
Brought out Mick Foley
because they were going to talk to. He wanted Brock. To confront Brock Lesnar for beating Undertaker.
Yes, and then Foley's like, oh. I thought you said Rock.
Yeah, I thought I was thinking
Rock.
But I'm scared shitless of the end of Rock.
And then he's like, yeah, but you got thrown off a cage, and that was awesome. And Foley's like, yeah, 17 years ago.
Yes.
When John Cena first was on top.
I can't imagine a guy who's pretty much immobile and can barely move,
mm-hmm.
who's old and had injuries slowing him down, facing Brock Lesnar.
I know.
Like, it's hard to imagine that.
Someone that was in a brutal Hell in a Cell match in 1998.
Yeah. No, I can't imagine.
Brock.
Can't imagine.
It's just weird. It's just, you know, you gotta be able to, like, have some form of logic, really.
Exactly.
Right?
It's gotta be realistic to some degree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, they also had this really shitty Dolph Ziggler and Rusev match.
Oh, I think we forgot about that. That comes after the Primetime Players match.
Yeah.
We didn't forget about it. We just didn't get there yet.
Yeah. And anyway, it's horseshit.
Yeah. So it was a double count out because...
Everything about it was horseshit.
Ziggler did a couple... Rusev did a couple like impressive-looking moves. He's really improved. He's good. He's better than this feud.
Yeah.
And...
But the crowd
was into Lana. Was a couple times they popped for her because she came out dressed more like Ziggler and... Even Summer Rae was in a slightly different outfit, which is good. They get away from what they were doing, but yeah, it's like a match that
stupid.
It's let's put it this way: it was an undercard. It's not even that it's stupid or
yeah,
bad,
but
you know, what it is it's an undercard match
that was stupid.
With two guys who feel like undercard performers, and Rusev is better in this, and it's the chemistry between the four of them is off.
Yeah, and the whole concept of the what they were doing in there was stupid.
Oh, that.
So, yeah. That was,
why is it stupid?
It wasn't very long, but it was stupid. What?
Why was it stupid?
Because nobody gives a fuck about any of these guys. Because they turned Rusev, this killer, into a comedy guy with getting a puppy and ready to go Summer and the always obedient Summer. And then you get
Rusev is
Lana.
Not a killer anymore. You're right. He's a comedy guy, but more than that, he's a kind of a whiner. He's whining about what happens with Lana and stuff.
Yeah.
But whatever. Yeah.
But
Dolph Ziggler. But why is the match that was, you said what was going on in there is stupid. Why was what was going on there?
Oh, it's just you got Pinball Ziggler and Rusev trying to have a match with him, and it doesn't Ziggler doesn't do anything for me. Rusev did that senton thing, the flip. That was cool. And
though
then,
he kind of fucked it up because he landed flat.
Yeah, but that was cool.
That was cool
because he hurt him. And whatever. And it just, the rest of it was stupid. Now, nothing else connected. Like, you talk again about
the feud isn't connecting. So if the feud doesn't
connect,
what you're trying to say is,
the matches
if, connecting. If I can speak for you,
no,
because that would be an improvement. What you're trying to say is the match wasn't connect because the characters don't connect with each other. The match didn't connect, and therefore it was stupid to be on SummerSlam.
No, not even close.
Okay,
it's just stupid.
Okay,
that's where I was going with it.
So okay,
then you got Stephen Anel and Neville.
Email.
Huh? Anel.
Email.
Anel.
A M E L L. Amel. Stephen Amel.
Anel. And Neville.
Do you think Steven and Anel would like to be on an act with Dolph or with Darren
Young?
Yeah.
A lot of duck under go behinds. The Cosmic King. And the, what is he? The Prince of Dark Matter?
Prince of Dark Matter, Stardust.
Yeah.
So, Stephen Amell comes out kind of like dressed in his Arrow thing a little bit because he's got the hoodie or whatever.
Yeah.
I've seen the show.
Yeah.
Then
he takes it off and he looks like Zach Gallen grew a leg.
Oh, yeah, he was a little taller. I thought he looked like I said, he looked like the starting character in Creator Wrestler.
Every 80s job.
Every Creator Wrestler character starts when you're creating your own wrestler in like a WWE 2K video game or something. Like, just like not a very, like not out of shape, but not a physically impressive upper body. So he should have probably covered it. And it just kind of looks like a guy he looks like an athletic, skinny guy. He's kind of tall, and he as far as being in the ring, he's got good athleticism, really good, like...
He's Green Arrow.
Green Arrow, yeah, really good athleticism, really good...
Is that athletic?
Yeah. Very good...
Not like a Paul Cruz.
Hops is the way I put it. He's got, like, very... He springs, he can fly through the air.
Like
he's,
Barley?
Yeah. He's He's a good aerial wrestler for a guy who's brand new. Leapfrogs and planches and
monkey
different things. Yeah, he's fine. For a guy who's brand new and, you know, he looked better. Like, I'm trying to think of who's ever looked better as like a guy who's an actor in a ring and a match.
Oh, David Arquette.
I think he looked better than David Arquette. Maybe a little better than Jay Leno. Maybe a little better.
How about Seth Green?
Maybe a
What about Mr. T?
No. You're right, Mr. T. But no, I mean, he looks better than like any of these guys. In fact, he looked better than a lot of guys that are athletes.
Get up, boy!
That are... He looks better than a lot of guys who have come from other sports that have looked in the ring.
Like Karl Malone.
Yeah.
Or Dennis Rodman.
That said, I mean, it's still a short match and it's not that good and the crowd wasn't that into it. Whatever.
Yeah, it was
and you know the guest goes over because as Big Show said on when he was talking on Jericho's podcast, he talked about his match against
Aki Boner,
and he talked about his match against Floyd, and he's like, yeah, the guest goes over. The guest always goes over. That didn't used to be the case. That wasn't the case with Piper and Mr. T. That's the case nowadays. The guest always goes over.
Yeah, because they're inferior. Then we had the Intercontinental title match.
At least it was... Wasn't it Neville getting the pin on Barrett, at least?
Yes.
Not
Neville. I believe it was, yes.
So then comes to... this next match was stupid.
The Intercontinental title match.
Yeah.
Yeah. It existed. Ryback won.
Yeah, Ryback retained.
I don't have anything else to say about it.
No, really, nobody cared about any of these guys. And it wasn't that good, and it was just a match.
Yeah. And then Jon Stewart talked to Paul Heyman.
Yeah. Didn't Jon Stewart also have a thing backstage where he was talking about the Undertaker with his kid, and he was talking to Neville and Amel before their match, and Undertaker walked by, and the lights went out, and everything.
Yeah.
Looked all spooky.
Yeah, and I think Leslie Nielsen was chasing after Jon.
He looked huge, but because he walked past Neville.
Yeah.
And,
he's twice his size.
Yeah. You're right, Leslie Nielsen was. Mm-hmm. And who was that other guy? George?
Carlin?
Kennedy?
Kennedy.
Kennedy. So anyway. All right, so the IC title match was over.
Yeah. Leading us to... Well, it wasn't, but it was done. Roman and Dean against Brandon and Luke Harper. This, I think, was the best undercard... you know, match that they had. Of all the thrown together horse shit, there wasn't a big focused on match. I think this was the best of
them. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, we saw when the Wyatt family took on the Shield, it was those 3-on-3 matches. They were insanely good.
That's for the main reason. A lot of that had to do with the crowd, though, too.
The crowd, but they lived up to it. They were great matches. Great matches at a great pace. And the other thing was,
good Rollins.
You had, but you had the best worker, which was Rollins, but you also had the worst worker, which was Roman. So you took them out. I was expecting a match closer to that quality. It wasn't there. But it was a good match. It was a decent match. Crowd was sort of into it. They didn't like Reigns, obviously, but they liked Ambrose and Harper. And Wyatt is very charismatic.
Yeah.
Harper is awesome as a wrestler. And I did not expect the clean win that we got, but hey, that's, you know.
It looked like it felt like a blow off of the feud to me.
It did, even though it's not supposed to be. And
well,
I didn't see any. There was a chance. There was a point where I thought Ambrose could turn on him, and they no.
I think there. Well, you say no hint. I think there was a hint.
Do you?
I think the hint was their beer drinking tag. That's their thing, where they go like this, like the beer drinking, almost like a Texas horn thing that they do,
mm-hmm.
That's their new thing. And so I think that'll be the start of the undoing. I could see, you talk about what's next for the New Day, I could see a Night of Champions, where they get it, there's a couple tournament match or whatever on Raw to see who fights them, and it becomes Ambrose and Reigns, and that's where
the turn.
Whoever's going to turn, Ambrose going to turn on Roman.
Ambrose, it'll be Ambrose turning.
That's where it'll happen is with the tag titles on the line, so then you can keep the tag titles on the New Day, and then you can go forward with this mini feud or whatnot for the rest of the time until the Rumble.
Maybe. It's possible.
So I could see that. Ed and Christian are going to be on the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast.
Yeah, they announced a lot of new shows. I mean, all I care about is Edge and Christian on the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast.
They're going to do an MSG show on
that too.
On October 3rd. They're also going to do the one thing we didn't mention on NXT. NXT TakeOver is going to go October 7th.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be the finals of the Dusty Classic, which is the Crockett Cup.
Yeah.
Tag team tournament.
And that, we'll see more details will be announced, I'm sure. That'll be great,
though. I think they've already taped them, though.
No.
Oh, no?
No.
No, starting September the 2nd, they said. So that's not this week's NXT, but next week's NXT. And they've taped the next 4 or 5 weeks of NXT.
Have they?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I know they taped the pre-show stuff, but it wasn't in that, in the NXT
They
pre-show?
Have a special next week that was taped before TakeOver. It's going to be this, but then they've also taped other things. That's the whole with Sasha
Banks
coming
out. Well, that's
Banks
right. They did tape. They did. You're right. They taped all that.
Swerves.
Yeah.
They had the Ascension back in.
They
had Gargano and Tommaso.
That's right.
So they've had some actually.
So those matches,
honest,
a lot of that didn't make sense, kind of.
You know,
and now it does.
To be honest, yeah, I noticed a lot of tag matches when I read the spoilers, and I'm like,
right.
Wow, a lot of tag matches.
And
but yeah.
Okay.
So I could see that. They may not have taped them all.
No, not all, but some.
But the first half, at least.
Okay,
so. But yeah, they need a bunch of shows. They're going to do a 24 on NXT.
Another show on
Hard Knocks show
on NXT. Kind of thing. It's a lot of NXT.
Well, it's Performance Center. It's stuff on the Performance Center. It's NXT. Not NXT. It's just the Performance
Center. But that center. Is NXT.
Because I remember when I watch NXT all the time, I see them training.
Well, let's put it this way. The people they showed, that they highlighted, were all people that are currently in NXT.
On the 24 special.
No, on the other one, too. It was fucking Bayley, fucking Becky Lynch, fucking Apollo Crews. Yes, it was.
Oh, there were Apollo Crews on there, but nobody else.
Yeah, they were.
No, they weren't.
I guarantee you. I saw them, dude.
Oh, yes. No, you're just on the ball today.
Yeah.
You're an idiot. You were watching a totally different show.
They are.
So they're doing it like a development.
It'll be all
training.
Of them is the point. It'll be people currently in NXT and people trying to get there.
Right, but they'll focus on the new people trying to make it on the thing.
Either way,
is what they said on the show. Now,
I prefer this more to the idea of them doing sitcoms and action shows. Like
I can't wait for Camp WWE.
Like I do prefer. At least this is a wrestling show.
A lot of
though fun. I'm not super excited about any of these new shows they're announcing.
A lot of fart jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't need to see any new people.
That's what Vince likes.
I don't need to see any new people in training. I don't really care.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, when they get to NXT, and you actually, which would be different, right, then I could see that as something different. But just this Hard Knocks show, I don't know. I'll probably watch one episode
on it.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's probably good,
to
tell you the truth. Right. If I have a chance to watch that or Hard Knocks, Hard Knocks is great. I'll just watch that.
Hard Knocks and Cheap Pops?
Yeah.
Yeah. They had the chick match now. Mm-hmm.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, they did.
No, you didn't.
Oh, no?
No. You forgot a match. Oh. Sort of a world title match.
Oh, which one was that now? Oh, the one from Raw.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. Saw that on Raw. Remember?
Yeah. But what about the one that happened tonight? We didn't talk about that yet.
Oh, yeah. So they basically what they did is...
Really, really with
well, I forgot about it because they replayed the Raw match, and then after that
but
was
they just
over,
superimposed new pants, yeah. New Stormtrooper pants on
John
Seth Rollins.
John Cena. The same match as Raw, John Cena then was knocked out.
It was not
John
the same
Stewart,
match as Raw.
John Stewart
It was
came
not
out.
The same match as Raw.
Who cares?
It was a typical John Cena
yes,
match,
that's
in that there
so
was a lot of...
We need to talk about it? Really?
Yeah,
the story of the match was that John Stewart came down.
That was the story of the finish. Yeah.
And the match, the whole fucking match, that was the story.
No, to me, the story of the match was just how great Rollins looked and how much he got all the offense, but how off Cena was tonight. Cena was really off tonight. The worst of his springboard stunners yet ever. I'm going to start an online petition to get him to stop doing it. I expect you all to sign him. It's terrible. There's a lot of times his timing was off and he was out of position, but he had a really bad night. And Rollins was great, though. And so it's kind of, and the story was of the match was pretty laid out pretty well. And that, you know, towards the end, you were kind of, it built towards an interesting finish. And then just as you're getting to the finish, like you say, Jon Stewart fucks him.
In the ass.
You know, it's the storyline to a huge pop. Like, you know, it's supposed to be a
poop.
Heel move, but
poop up in the ass.
Like Jon Stewart, the crowd went crazy. They were gonna thank you, John, and Chance, and all this stuff because it led to Cena losing.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins getting the belt.
Seth Rollins has both the belt. The statue is in the works now.
Yeah.
Which one I understand. But that was the match. They went, I don't even know how long that they.
20 plus.
They went, but it was basically just the whole point was Jon Stewart came down, helped his former nemesis, Seth Rollins.
Which actually made sense because they were really portrayed as actually being pals, even in that nemesis thing. So you know, it made enough sense from that. But like, I do not like here. You are at your second biggest show of the year, and you. Second biggest weekend, certainly, for
mm-hmm.
wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
Second biggest show of the year. And you have your world title match.
Mm-hmm.
And you got, actually, more than just a world title match, a unification match.
Yeah.
And you settle it with an actor.
Yeah.
A 5'5", 140-pound comedian settling the match.
Right.
It's like, mm-hmm. I don't like it.
No. See... The whole thing was, is we're about, we're talking about this match, Now we have two more to go. And then the only match that anybody gave any fuck about is then.
But,
and so I'll get to that and feelings. But in terms of did John Stewart affect my... No, who cares?
Well, okay.
The big
but
thing
the
now
thing
is
okay.
I'm looking forward to
okay.
Rollins.
You know what?
Having,
I'm going to come back to this. We're going to come back to this now.
I'm looking forward to Rollins having both titles. And
really,
because
his opening 20-minute monologues every week on Raw are so fucking entertaining. You can't fucking wait to hear him come out, talk for 20 minutes about how great he is and do the same fucking promo he's been doing for 4 fucking months. You can't wait for it again because it's so great. You're looking forward to it.
Dude, I watch Raw on a PBR. I haven't seen this fucking Seth Rollins promo since he's won the goddamn belt. The last time I saw a Seth Rollins promo,
yeah.
We were
that's
live
kind
at
of the
fucking
point.
Raw after Raw.
Yeah,
but I like
point.
The idea of him being able to defend both both titles or where they're going to
go. Oh, yeah.
Go
great
with that.
If he holds both titles and defends them both the same night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's brand new. Nobody in ROH has ever done that before.
Yeah, so people will see it now.
Yeah, so take what Jay Lethal's doing and just try and do it again.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, steal a good idea and put it on a show where people actually fucking watch. That would be
yeah,
great.
Yeah, but a show that's shittier, but people watch.
Yeah,
there
yeah,
you go.
Yeah, but if you're going to take a good idea,
yeah.
Then put it on the show that people watch.
He's known for liking to take other people's ideas,
yeah.
Right?
Well, they're taking. But so what are you going to do? Is gonna, that, well, that's what I'm saying. Is it then okay? Does he vacate the U.S. title tomorrow and
nah,
they have a tournament to cut them? I'm just interested to see where they go with that.
It's a fuck finish.
Yeah,
your
sure.
World title match, your semi main event. Had a fuck finish.
Yeah, it's semi-main event. There is no semi-main event. There's one match on this show. This is a one-match show. So the fact that they're fuck finish.
Oh,
we
wait,
talked
oh,
about,
wait,
we talked
wait,
about
but hold on. But
talked
but,
about
but that main
teams.
Event, we haven't gotten to it yet.
No,
but it has a fuck finish, fucker.
Okay, just,
so you have a fuck finish on top of a fuck finish.
Okay.
And there was other fuck finishes during the match, during the night.
Well, fuck.
That's why SummerSlam's not very good. There's so many fuck finishes. And you booked all your main matches... Undertaker and Lesnar
yeah.
And fucking Cena and Rollins and all these matches that are your
well,
most
one.
Important
there's
matches.
One. There's one most important match.
All these matches, you booked them to the
uh-huh.
Point that you actually don't
right.
Want an outcome from
right.
Them and don't want anybody
yeah.
To lose.
We talked
so
about
you know
that.
What? You end up with this bunch of fuck finishes.
Right. And actually, and we have less of a fuck finish than we thought we were going to have in that title for title match because we just assumed middle of the card because the whole fucking show is Lesnar and Brock. This match would give a fuck. We already saw it. So this match could have
that
other
one
double,
was better.
Double DQ.
The broken nose made it better.
Yeah,
they only played up the broken nose in this match really late after
yeah.
A ref bump.
But
even then, it wasn't very good.
You got a
much.
Double DQ. We thought double DQ, double something, dumb fuck finish, right? And that's what we figured. And we got more of an outcome than we thought we were going
yeah.
To.
But you know what?
A
double.
Change.
I knew it
so,
wasn't going to be a double because you had the double count out with Ziggler and Rusev.
Well, no, but I'm talking
so
last week.
Get
when
that
last
again.
Week when
yeah.
We were talking.
But instead, you had a 140-pound, 58-year-old actor cost your champ
sure.
The title. Like,
yeah. It's just wrestling, man.
All right, so Team Bella versus
yeah,
Team...
The,
so you had your women's match, the yes. Matches they looked good. I like to call it a women's match.
Sure.
But so last night you had the best match of the whole weekend was two women, and then you had this match.
Yes. And it went, what, 16 minutes, we thought?
Which was, I think, the second worst match of the weekend.
This?
Yeah.
Second worst match of the weekend?
I'd say the IC match is the worst match. And this is the second.
Yeah, no, you had the IC match. You had the Rusev Ziggler.
That was
match.
Better than this.
I don't think so.
I do.
Yeah, I think about the same. I don't really, as I said, I didn't really pay much attention because, as I said, I didn't really care about anything on the undercard. So with this, I was
yeah,
surprised.
Well, why the fuck are we reviewing the show?
Becky
if you
Lynch,
didn't watch or pay
Becky,
attention to any of this.
I didn't pay attention to it. I'm just saying I didn't analyze it because it was like, okay, now there's a Divas match. But I was surprised Becky Lynch won.
Look.
I thought Charlotte was going to win.
I like the fact
that
he
was going to do that.
That's
so,
pain, yeah, but
I mean,
but
this was one of those.
Who did she pin in the last one? Was it Brie?
Brie. Yeah.
Again, though, it's this isn't working. Everything that worked the night before, having a belt that mattered and having somebody chasing it and having great matches, is everything that's working in NXT.
Yes.
This is just too many characters.
Yeah.
Too many matches that are too much even Steven booking back and forth. Like, Becky won tonight. She could very well lose to one of those other teams tomorrow.
Yeah.
And because she lost one of them on SmackDown after winning the week before. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's just, it's even Stephen booking, it's
actually
it's not
me.
Working.
It really does
remind five of the people, five of them aren't good wrestlers.
Yeah.
It's...
It reminds me actually a lot of when a lot of the Nation of Domination.
Yeah.
And when the Nation of Domination split, when Farouk fired Crush and Savio Vega so we could just have black
yeah.
people with them. And fine, you had Kama and you had Rocky and we had Ahmed at first
yeah.
and Dilo or whatever. That was good. And I liked Crush as the biker
yeah.
with Chains and with Skull and 8-Ball. I thought that was good. And I liked... some of the cruiserweight guy and Savio Vega, the brief, like you know, I liked
yeah.
them at, on their own. I thought, okay, these guys.
But instead,
in fact, was they all had
feud.
To be? Yeah, they all in this case, 12 guys had to come together and intermingle and do all this stuff. And it was too much, too soon, especially since whenever again out of the 12, now you had 8 of them were new.
Yeah,
and so you're trying to establish, and it never took
and
off.
And it's very much the same thing.
And
very
and
much
it's
the same
thing because you talk about NXT and the whole story leading up to TakeOver was Becky Lynch beat Becky Lynch, beat
yeah.
Charlotte, you know, got beat these the ones that had come up,
yeah.
and then got her shot. That's how this came through.
Where she had twice before on TakeOver, saw a shot and failed.
Yes. And the story was that the rest of the horsewomen have gone up to the main roster.
Yeah.
And they beat Bayley. So they even showed Charlotte beats Bayley. And then they show Stephanie announcing Charlotte. And they
yeah.
go, oh, Becky Lynch turns on Bayley. And then they show, you know, the Becky Lynch debut.
Yeah.
And Raw. Like, so no, that was a lot of the story. So the story itself was good. There's no story to any of these debuts.
No, it's just, hey, I put these three teams together. And it's a revolution. Because
yeah.
I'm a woman. And I'm my big tits. Like, I'm Stephanie McMahon. I have big tits and I'm a woman. And so here's three teams. I'm going to put them together. They're women. Hey, it's a revolution. It's going to be great wrestling. Oh, wait, it's not. It's not great wrestling. It's not great storyline. And there's too much even Steven.
It's, yeah.
It's not working.
You really needed to, yeah, exactly.
It's just a shame because you saw the night before. God damn, it's there for them.
God damn, son.
But you know what? It's fucking Vince McMahon, though.
Yeah. I
he doesn't, he's...
Doesn't get it.
He doesn't get it.
He just doesn't get it. He sees it.
Yeah.
But he doesn't understand it. He knows that Ronda Rousey's a huge star.
But he doesn't know why.
But he doesn't, yeah, he can't figure that out. Like,
yeah.
Because she doesn't, like, Sable, he gets.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
He understands what Sable's a big star.
You know,
yeah.
But, so, anyway.
Stephanie involved with any of this doesn't work.
This was my second most anticipated match. This is one that I was looking forward
Owens
to.
Owens versus Cesaro,
it
for sure.
Owens and Cesaro.
And they had a good match. Not a great match, but a good match.
They had a good match, yeah. They had a good match. As I said, and I thought Owens was going to go over because I thought if it had been me, I would have put Cesaro over. So I thought, okay, they'll put Owens
and
over.
I thought Owens was going to go over. And
I don't know.
As the match was happening, I thought, oh, no, Cesaro's going over. But I would have put Owens over because I think you need more of you need more strong heels. And you don't want to ruin what he does. And Cesaro's lost so much, it doesn't matter. But Owens hasn't lost so much, so it does matter. And I think Owens has a little more upside, personally, of the two.
And I could go either way. Like, I don't, like, Owens winning, it's like, oh, okay. You know,
the most important thing was that they had a chance to have a good match, and they had a good match.
That's what
people will remember about these guys. And that's what will get them over and make them valuable longer.
Exactly.
These guys, they're more like the Radicals. Like, they can come in, they're more like those guys who, they're not the guys who are going to cut the promo that will entertain you for 20 minutes. It's not The Rock and Austin. These guys are the guys that are...
Seth Rollins.
No. I said entertaining.
Oh.
But these are the guys, and Owens is a good speaker, but really what this is these are the guys who you're like, oh, hey, I'm going to watch this pay-per-view or I'm not. Who's on it? Oh, this guy's on it and this guy's on it, and they're going to have a great match. They're that for the wrestling fan, they're that thing that... Like you said, kind of draws you to it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's watch. This will be good wrestling.
Yeah.
And that's the role, and they're good at it. You got a chance to do that.
And they did, and that was good.
Yeah.
Then in the main event.
The fuck finish. The second
main
fuck finish.
Event of
the third fuck finish.
This was disappointing. Again, the finish. Like, I thought the match...
Much better than the
on,
WrestleMania match.
Yeah, as it was going on, Lesnar tried to blade early and it didn't work, and they tried to blade again.
He bladed twice.
I think three times.
Maybe three times, yeah. Because he wanted to be a crimson mask, and he kept on blading when he wasn't in the middle of working hard, so his heart Like, if you're going to blade, it only takes a bit of your adrenaline going. Your heart is pumping hard. If you're kind of pushed to the limit, it only takes a little bit for it to be a gusher.
Yeah.
But if you blade and then you kind of stand around, then it's just going to die. And that kept on happening to him.
Yeah.
Like, so he wanted to be the Crimson Mask. By the end, he kind of got there because he had pretty much cut himself right across the forehead.
Yeah. And to your point, I mean, we looked at the...
But it's crazy that we're not seeing used to seeing people blading.
No, no.
And I wonder if he's going to get in trouble if he had permission. I think he probably did because the camera was right on it. Like,
yeah.
Not afraid at all.
No, I was going to say they weren't afraid.
It's like it's our network. Control. We're not going to no more of this bullshit.
Yeah, and yeah. We're going to do it nonstop. But we have the option to do it if we want.
And you know what? Two or three times a year, you should. And it didn't hurt them. I mean, it's certainly the theory to increase adrenaline is good.
And, I mean, it was one of those things that they coached Lesnar on how to do it. They took him out for dinner last night with Bob Orton,
mm-hmm.
You know, and they were seen rubbing up against each other. But anyway, you knew how to do it.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Bleeding. Hepatitis.
Oh, hepatitis, yeah.
Against the Undertaker.
Oh, there you go.
He was less than tickled.
Do you have hepatitis?
Bob Orton? Yeah, when he was seconding Randy and he bladed in a cage match and fucking Undertaker was pissed.
Really?
Yes.
I don't remember.
That's when
that.
Bob
that's
Orton
great.
Stopped Bob that's how Bob Orton stopped coming by.
Oh, that's
he
tremendous.
Was with Randy.
I remember
he
was with Randy.
Wilder,
yeah.
And then that's when he stopped, yeah.
That's funny. Good job. Who do you think you are?
Hepatitis Ace.
Dulu the Butcher?
Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah. All right, so anyways.
So the thing is, we talked about it earlier, and we talked about last week even, or the preview show rather, that it the Cena-Rollins match, the finish really didn't matter because this was about Lesnar and Taker.
This was, as far as...
It was in the middle of the show, and okay, fuck your finish so you can do the thing in the main event.
Yeah.
And then they fucked finish in the main event, right?
Yeah.
This is the one match that this whole show was built around. And it just fell flat.
The ending did. Like, the match itself.
Yeah.
Like, the idea... Like, one of the things is the submission moves that both guys put on
the
got over.
Submission maneuvers?
Like, the Hell's Gate and the more, and the crowd was kind of into that. And it was a physical match. And, you know, Taker can't move much, but he took the suplexes and...
Yes.
They sold a lot.
Four or five suplexes.
Yeah, something like that. And maybe even more. And the selling was good. So the story was good, and so the crowd was into it, and it felt physical as a Lesnar match.
It was, yeah.
It felt like a physical match. So it wasn't bad, but yeah, you're right. I wouldn't hate that other one as much if it wasn't for this. But what it was that Undertaker taps out to the Kimura.
Yes.
And the referee, though, is looking for head and shoulders to see the... to see if he's going down for the pin. And instead, he taps out, and the bell rings, and Brock lets it go. Because he has, you know, I mean, the bell rang because the ring
match
person, the ring, yeah, the timekeeper saw him tapping. But
well,
the referee's like, I'm the one who calls for it. Nobody else can call for the end of the match. I didn't see anything.
Here's the thing.
And Heyman's like, oh, he tapped out, and Lesnar's acting confused, and then he ends up getting caught in the Hell's Gate because the match isn't over, and
yes.
He ends up passing out. After he gives the finger to the Undertaker.
That was great. Here's what happened, though, was that, yeah, it goes for... Brock takes Undertaker down for the Kimura. He's got his shoulders down. Referee Charles Robinson jumps to the right of them and goes down and looks at the shoulders and makes sure the shoulders aren't down. Meanwhile, on the left-hand side, Undertaker is tapping. So the timekeeper... who's on the right-hand side. Honestly, if you look at it, he's here. And there's no fucking way that the timekeeper could have seen Undertaker tapping. They showed the replay 100 times afterwards. And there's no way, given the position that they're in.
Wait. If the timekeeper's sitting there, then he can see the monitor. And if he can see the monitor, then he can see
it. No, but I didn't... But maybe on the monitor, but they were looking over on the...
I have to know. If he's looking at the monitor, then he probably shouldn't be able to see it.
Maybe, but we didn't see it at first.
It's very quick and it's kind of subtle. But
that's
I wasn't
what I'm saying.
But tell you the truth, I was looking at the referee and the shoulders. I wasn't thinking about that.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
You know,
neither should the timekeeper.
Wow.
Right? The timekeeper's whole job isn't to look at the monitor, though, is to look at the referee so that when the referee calls it, you're supposed to be staring. Maybe. You're watching the match. No, that's your job, though. And so there's no way.
Yeah, but what, since when is anybody in the WWF good at their job?
I'm
or
just
WWE?
Kidding. There's no way that, that they'd be able
to. No, you're right. You're right.
And so that just adds to me, that's an adds to the convoluted, flat nature of this whole thing. They didn't bother to.
Well, and the other thing is.
The thing was, they didn't have Lillian get on and explain what was happening. It was just. You can't do this. It's not your job. It's my job, you stupid fuck. Where's Mark Eaton? I want Mark Eaton back. He would never done this, you stupid fuck. And then wasn't
word for word, I believe, what Charles Robinson
said. And it wasn't
said.
Even like Charles Robinson said, like, restart the match.
Well, Charles Robinson didn't even, like, he immediately knew why he had rung the bell. It's like, shouldn't he have gone up and said, why did you ring the bell? What, you saw him tapping?
Yes.
Like, it was just like, you shouldn't have, I'm calling this, what are you calling this? And, but like I say, Heyman's like, oh, he tapped. Brock is acting like he's tapping, and then like he's confused. Okay. Too quickly, he's confused. Like, he doesn't know what's going on. And the crowd is, like, into it. They're kind of like this cheering, buzzing. And then this happens, and they kind of go, like, flattened right out. Like, they're just
because
like...
Because they did not handle it well at all.
Because the referee's not calling for anything. So they're going, what's going on? And then all of a sudden, the match restarts, and...
But the ref
that finish
call.
Doesn't really work either, because now the crowd's going, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah.
And then Undertaker leaves, and the crowd's cheering a little bit, but then Heyman says, no, he really tapped, and Lesnar's acting like he's really confused and kind of down, and the crowd's not booing him or cheering him, because now they're confused about who's the babyface and who's the heel.
Yeah, the heel has a point.
The heel
is right.
Because Undertaker was the heel on Monday,
yes.
And then was the babyface tonight because Lesnar...
attacked
like,
him earlier.
And because Heyman cut a heel promo earlier.
Yes, that's right.
And then when he was with John Story, cut a heel promo, and he attacked him just before the bell rang. So, I mean, turning babyface Taker, and then you have this, where Taker didn't necessarily... I mean, yeah, Taker sort of did something wrong.
Was this
Lesnar didn't. Like, it's just... And you throw that in with everything else.
Yeah.
And...
yeah, it just... It was flat. It was shit.
And you know what? Again, if it's not your... If it's not a four-hour show that's built up so much, it doesn't matter as much.
It's the...
Like,
old,
if, it's
the fact was,
if it's Battlefield, this feels like it's leading towards...
Battleground.
Sorry, if this is Battlefield, Battleground, Love Is, whatever it is, it feels like it's leading towards SummerSlam. It's okay. But here... I guess it's supposed to lead towards WrestleMania, but I'm just like...
Which will happen tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. Now
we'll
like,
do
yeah.
Undertaker Lesnar 3
yeah.
at WrestleMania.
Yeah, it looks like
yeah.
yeah.
Which we kind of
for
figured,
sure.
We figured all along, even before the show started.
Well, I figured that was all along. I just figured there'd be another big angle tomorrow because we're talking,
be.
And I think there might be.
There might be stuff.
But
the thing was with this... It
at least there was no Kane getting involved.
Yes, I know. I thought of that.
Though we'll still see that in like probably the build-up. We'll probably kill Kane in the build-up because... See
yeah,
Taker.
He could, maybe that's who he fights at that fucking.
But tell you the truth, now
Madison Square Garden show.
Now the WrestleMania match before it was like Lesnar needed to, or Taker needed to win. Like if he had lost this one, then he could have won the one in Dallas. Now it's like if he loses this, he'll look like all of a sudden I don't know who wins the WrestleMania.
Has to be Taker because. Like,
yeah,
Taker's really never won.
But then you're really fucking... no, he's never really won, but then he's really fucking Lesnar.
Well, that's true.
He's gonna be
and
who
cares about Taker,
just
really?
Takes him.
He's done. So, I mean, you might as well fucking... Yeah. And then Taker can go in the Hall of Fame in Minnesota where Taker's from.
No, that's The Rock.
Oh, right. The Rock.
It's from Minnesota.
Minnesota. LaRouche.
All right, that's
but that was
we're
it. I mean,
they're
it
gonna
was
wrong.
Just so
we'll come
flat,
back.
And,
yeah.
And I mean, they're obviously building because they showed the replay about 50,000 times about Undertaker. Like they made it perfectly clear that Undertaker is tapped out and should have lost this match, and that the ref is a fuck.
Yeah.
And that was the story really of the match is that Lesnar got screwed.
Yeah, and, which is again, if when they're gonna face each other again next time. I don't think the crowd's going to be wanting to boo Lesnar now. Again, another reason not to
well,
lose
the whole,
next one. Like,
I don't
they were a long way
I
away.
I don't really
but.
Know. It's a long way away. I mean, honestly, the whole point about this upcoming, this SummerSlam match, was that Lesnar beat him.
Yeah.
So I'm here, because I'm going to face you because you beat me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there is that. So now it's like, well, this was disputed. I know I beat you, but... You know, I'll just have to do it again. You know what? You said you beat me. I see I beat you. We're just going to have to do it again.
So I give TakeOver a 7.5 out of 10.
Okay.
And I give this a 6 out of 10.
I would give, TakeOver a 7, and I would give SummerSlam a 5. It felt very long. 4 hours.
The 4 hours is long.
Unnecessarily four.
Especially
hours.
When you have watched TakeOver first. And me at home, I watched Impact first.
And
I watched SmackDown, and I watched ROH.
It was unnecessarily 4 hours. You didn't need to have
a couple of those matches could have gone.
Yeah, you didn't need the Rusev thing, right?
You didn't need the Rusev match. You didn't need the IC title match.
Yeah, exactly.
So that would have taken 8 minutes off.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you could have done. And it would have made it. It's one of those things that it just the fuck finish at the end brought it down probably a whole point to me. I would have given it a 6, I probably would have given it a 7 if it had been a 3-hour show, because you wouldn't have had the fucking bullshit, and you still would have had the Cena Rollins, which was good. And
you talked me down to a 5.5.
And I'm thinking 5.
7.5 and 5.5.
Yeah, I'm going to go 7 and 5. Sorry. So
that's it. We're done.
That's it. We're off like a Jewish foreskin. We got at We Talk Wrestling on Twitter. Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling. We are on Stitcher. We are on iTunes. We are on the TuneIn radio app. We are on, what else? The Armed Forces Network. We're on OBET Radio. We're on most Comcast things.
Serious, obviously. We're part of the Howard Stern Network.
Let's be serious.
Yeah.
And, we're Show Me.
Yeah.
Netflix,
Show Me. Crackle.
Crackle, Ackle.
Yeah.
Cracker Jack.
Cracker Jack. We're on the Cracker Jack boxes.
CrackerJack.com.
Yeah. Yep.
We are, when you open up the Cracker Jack box, we're the prize inside. MP3.
Yeah. Yeah. Really?
Okay. A little scripting in here now. But that's going to do it. So in the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
Good night. Are we off air?
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking that
good night
is going to be my new thing, do you think?
Good night.